I'm Andrew Stelzer, and this is Making Contact.
There's only one thing left for us to say on three. Let's rodeo. One, two, three. Let's rodeo! You got it. Thank you, Pepe. Thank you, Craze. Have a great day.
Rodeo is a part of life for many Americans. But if you're an LGBTQ rodeo fan, participating in the sport you love can mean hiding part of who you are to fit in. You don't often hear the words gay and rodeo together, but as producer Vanessa Roncagno found out, across the country, a tight-knit group of queer cowboys has found a way to live the country and western lifestyle in their own way. On this edition of Making Contact, she brings us one bull rider's story.
So my name is Jason Strand. We're at Corona Ranch in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is the first day of the Phoenix Rodeo and first rodeo of the season.
It's rodeo season again, and Jason Strand has come from the San Francisco Bay Area to be here. He's one of the very few cowboys here who still competes in the rodeo's most dangerous event, bull riding. Minutes before his first ride of the season, Jason's standing behind the chutes. They're the metal pens on one end of the arena where the crew holds the bulls before the event. The arena spreads out in front of him, surrounded by colorful wooden bleachers where some 300 fans clap and cheer. At 33, Jason's pretty young compared to most of the cowboys here. He's a small guy, blue-eyed and baby-faced, and overall seems like no match for the huge bull he's about to get on. I grabbed a cowboy in the crowd to help explain what was happening.
Jason's getting ready. He's got his chaps on. He's got his mouth guard in. He's cinching up his protective bull riding vest.
I've had my fair share of injuries.
That's Jason again.
I've been stomped on a number of times. My first full year riding, I had a bull land on my chest in Denver. Hit my chest, my shoulder, and cracked my helmet in half. Had my legs stomped on a number of times. I got gored in Chicago last year. I took a horn to my hip. That was probably my worst. I've been lucky. The first 30 minutes before the event, I just kind of stay behind the chutes and I tune everybody out and I stretch and get loose and limber and kind of just clear my mind of everything, you know, any ambitions that I have and anything at all that is keeping me from concentrating on where I need to look, on my breathing, on my technique. I try to push it out of my mind because the slightest distraction can cost you big time.
Yeah, he's pacing back and forth a little bit, just waiting for him to get ready for his animal.
How about a wave to your fan?
Oh, I'm sure he's nervous. We want to do so well each time, and it's 6 seconds, so it's very quick. All right, now he's getting over the top rail. He's straddling the animal, just getting down onto the back of it.
It's a 15 to 3,000 pound animal, and so you're straddling this huge animal. And I mean, if you've ever ridden a horse, it almost feels like a saddle that just keeps moving on its own.
And there's the gates open. He's going, it's bucking. He's going out. We got a good ride.
When it bucks, you get to feel their raw power. It's like four people coming up behind you and just shoving you from the back forward. And then again from the front. It's tremendous. For a rider, you live for that buzzer. And every second feels like minutes or hours. There's a point where you start thinking, oh my God, did they not set the buzzer? And at that point, you're still fighting, you're still going with it, you're going strong, or your thoughts have gotten the best of you and you've lost track of what you're doing and you start to fall. And then as you start to hit the ground, you hear the buzzer and you're going, oh shit.
Now there's the buzzer. So he made it about 4 seconds. It looked like a good straight ride. He has some spurring of the animal, which is what you want. Nope, they're nodding no. You got the thumbs down.
Ain't that picture in your head of all these modern day wannabes? I'm just proud that I can say I don't wear this hat for show or fame. And if you don't like who I am, you got mama and daddy and a good Lord to blame. Amen. I'm a straight up no joking bug knife gun toting, give you the shirt off of my back. Well, I'm loved by the crew. all the way, 100% cowboy.
In most ways, Jason looks like your typical urban cowboy. He's got the sideburns, the boots, and the Stetson. But in one way, Jason's far from a conventional bull rider. He's gay, openly gay, and happily married. And this is not a traditional rodeo. It's the first gay rodeo of 2014, and queer cowboys and cowgirls have come from all over the country, and even Canada, to be here.
There was somebody in there.
First name?
Kelly.
Okay, so you've competed before.
Okay. What I'll need you to do is just fill out this top portion for me. And then just need you to select which events you're going to participate in.
It's the reason that the line is slow.
Who's that?
Move it along, Keenan.
Keenan.
Hurry up, Queenan.
Go ahead and take that down to the cashier and they'll take care of you, both of you. Thank you, guys.
You know, the rodeo is so many different things to so many different people. You've got the contestants. You've got the officials. You have the royalty contestants, the people competing for Mr., Ms., Mister, and so forth. You have people that come to the rodeo just to dance. You have people who come to the rodeo as vendors that are trying to sell products, many of which are LGBT focused. You have the spectators. If you want to dress in drag and perform, you can do that at the rodeo. If you want to be a bull rider, whether you're a man or a woman, you can come out and be a bull rider. You can be whatever you want, and I think that's just fantastic.
This is not professional level rodeo, right? Because we're not, that's not what we do for a living. You know, we're teachers and doctors and lawyers and courier drivers, whatever we happen to be. This is just our hobby. This is what we do, but we do it a lot.
It's not just the type of people who show up that makes a gay rodeo different. It's also the kinds of events put on here. Like any rodeo, there's roping events, speed events, and rough stock events, the ones where people get really dirty, like bull riding and steer wrestling. But there's some special competitions, too.
And the camp events are unique to gay rodeo.
Well, and they're called camp events because they're campy. Yeah. That's the whole point. They're just for fun.
And they tend to be some of the more popular events in the stands. A team of two run out, one holds the legs of a goat, the other one puts underpants on it, jockey shorts, underpants, and they race back. That's goat dressing. We have another one called steer decorating, where one person holds a steer on a lead and the second person ties a ribbon on their tail and they both run back and hit a timer. And the third one is really popular. It's called wild drag. It's a team of three. There's a male, a female, and then a third person dressed in female attire. And they have to get the drag person up on the steer and then they have to come back across the line with the person riding the steer back. People get into the costumes. A team has come out dressed in nun and priest attire. A couple years ago, there was a team of three who dressed up as Gone with the Wind.
Our friend Jason Strand has decided to do wild drag as well. And he is in a lovely red cotton candy matted mess of a wig and a little black tutu. Of course, in his Wranglers and his cowboy boots as well. And the cowgirls just handed off the rope to the cowboy. They're struggling to get it back across the 70-foot line. Oh, steer flipped over. That is never a good thing. Jason just fell down. That's not good. Now the two team steers are tangled. Oh, Jason just got flipped over, caught in the rope, tripped by the rope, lost his hair, and he's given up.
Waking up to say hip hip hooray, I'm glad I'm gay. Can't repress my happiness ever since I tried your way. Gonna lay right here and greet the sun, 'cause gay time loving's just begun. So come on, let's tumble in the hay.
The roots of American rodeo go back to the Spanish conquistadores who first herded cattle here. Roping and riding competitions between cowboys eventually turned into organized events, and with the help of Western heroes like Buffalo Bill Cody and Wild Bill Hickok, rodeo was pretty popular by the late 1800s. Today, it's hard to separate rodeo from the mythology of the American cowboy, the stoic, hard-drinking, womanizing characters who helped shape American ideas about what it means to be a man. But ask anyone here, and they'll tell you there have always been queer cowboys, ranchers, farmhands. They'll also tell you that growing up gay in rural America can be really hard. For a lot of them, rodeo was a family tradition, but they never felt totally comfortable.
We're Circuit Queens. We're at all the rodeos, yeah. Straight rodeo is something that's big in my family. I come from a family of ropers. I can't say I'd get any of them to ever come to a gay rodeo. It's a little bit strange for an all-around cowboy, straight cowboy, to see a gay cowboy. They just think it's not possible. There's no way if you're gay you can be a cowboy. It's not true at all. It's not. A real cowboy, you're born that way. It's just in your blood. It's just something that you know you are.
My name is Bill Lyle. I'm stock contractor from Morgan Hill, California. We own the Thrill at Morgan Hill Rodeo Company. We provide the livestock for rodeos around the western United States, all the roping cattle, bucking bulls, bucking horses, all the personnel. We basically come in like the circus, can produce the whole rodeo.
Bill isn't just a rodeo producer. He's a rodeo man to the core. He rode bulls professionally for 30 years and took home a lot of buckles. And he's worked as a rodeo clown and bullfighter, protecting riders when they get thrown off. Bill's straight, but he understands firsthand the homophobia in the rodeo world.
Actually, my first paid clowning job was in 1979 for a gay rodeo in Hayward. At the time, they didn't bill them as gay rodeos, or at least that rodeo, because there was so much problem with homophobic folks around. The guy that brought the bulls, I guess he knew it was a gay rodeo, so he brought some bad cats just because they wanted to hurt folks. I took a bad hooking for a guy, and when I came up behind him and tapped him and said, "You okay?" He's, "Get your hands off me, you fag," and I got him behind the chutes and tuned him up a little bit. I just got the living shit hooked out of me trying to save the guy.
Gay rodeo started back in 1975 when a guy named Phil Ragsdale decided an amateur gay rodeo would be a great way to raise money for charity and break some stereotypes in the process. It was a success, and similar rodeos started cropping up across the West. The independent groups eventually got together and formed the International Gay Rodeo Association, IGRA. Gay rodeo emerged as the AIDS epidemic was starting to hit gay communities around the country. The rodeos were a safe haven that meshed gay liberation ideology with the country Western Party, and they filled a huge need.
Back in the 80s, we were getting very, very, very little support and attention and focus on what ended up being a very devastating disease for our community. My name is Steve Woolert. I live in San Diego, California. I was Mr. IGRA 2006. All of us that grew up in the Midwest or the West or on farms and ranches as we were coming of age and coming out were searching for that thing that we identified with, because it was very hard to be a gay cowboy. First time that I went to a gay rodeo and walked into a ballroom where men were dancing with men to country music. I mean, sorry. I found my home, because there's a lot of us that grew up that way and essentially had to be completely closeted if we wanted to participate in rodeo.
I grew up in a small town on a farm, and so I've been to many rodeos, and it's very much the, you know, jeans and big belt buckles and very conservative Christian environment, and I would not have expressed myself in that venue. And I'm very open now, but I would never have dreamt. Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you were to go back home to visit, would you express yourself then?
My family would allow me to go back home and visit, then maybe. Would you, Brian?
Well, I'm from L.A., so it's no big deal anymore.
If I had been exposed to that there are other farmers, ranchers, that were just like me and they loved what they did, it could have changed my path, most definitely.
I'm Darcy Ward, and I work the rodeo circuit. I started working it when I was still female. And then in the early 2000s, I transitioned to male. So I'm F to M, which is female to male, transgender. It's been very important to me to try to come out more and more to everybody, because there's still, even in the gay community itself, a lot of prejudice towards transgenders. And we're trying to say, hey, we're here. we're not bizarre, weird, crazy. It's just a part of who we are, and it's another part of the community to embrace. We're all dealing with the same crap, and we just want to be who we are and live our lives.
Edwin and Ramiro help work the rodeo. They never expected to be here, and even though they say they were pleasantly surprised by what they found, working here is a challenge in some ways.
4 years ago when I did my first rodeo, I you know, my first gay rodeo, I did not, I wasn't gonna do it. I mean, I was a little broke, but and I did it, and you know, and like how he's saying, we were putting our hats down and everything. My name's Ramiro, I'm a bullfighter during the bull riding event. I distract the bull so the bull rider could have enough time to get away. Nobody, none of my friends, none of my family, nobody knows that I came here and, you know, work a gay rodeo. See, I make a living out of this. So if they were to find out a certain stock contractors, they would really, I wouldn't be doing a lot of rodeos this year. And that's just the way it is.
You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. Because of support from listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the US, Canada, Australia, and South Africa. To find out how to support us, download shows, or get our podcasts, go to radioproject.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. We now return to All Around Cowboy by producer Vanessa Roncagno.
Back in the rodeo ring, Jason is facing his toughest challenge of the weekend.
Okay, so Jason is now climbing down in the chute, and now Jason's hand is in there. He's now wrapped the rope a couple times over his hand as well. So literally, the only thing that Jason is holding on to is this rope, and he uses his legs to stay on the animal. He's out.
And he makes his 6 seconds.
About midway through, I started to lose my balance, and I fell off towards the side. And that's where my spurs came into play, because I was able to throw my right leg over and dig my spur in and pull myself up with my leg as well as my arm while I was holding onto my rope. And I was able to get back on and finish the ride, and I made my time. So I took first place with a score of 68 and was the only guy out of five to cover. So I'm feeling fantastic right now. And now I get a nice little break. I'm gonna rehydrate, maybe get something to eat, and relax a little bit, because I'm definitely amped up but tired.
Jason's husband, Will, looks tired, too. He's been in the stands all day cheering and photographing and videotaping. Will comes to the rodeos with Jason whenever he can, but he never competes. And it's clear this is Jason's thing, not his.
I'm Will Eichmann, and I am Jason Strand's husband. And we have been together for 10 years now. Jason and I met in Phoenix when we both lived here. We moved to San Francisco. Right before the Proposition 8 vote, we decided to get married like the weekend before the proposition, because we were worried that the vote was going to go the wrong way.
Jason grew up in Reno, Nevada, where he got introduced to rodeo. But it wasn't until he moved to San Francisco that he really got into it. It took Will by surprise.
He has a friend in San Francisco that participated. He suggested, Jason, you know, come down and help out with the crew. Well, he got down there, and he was so infatuated with it, people sponsored him to enter events. You know, no cowboy gear, no nothing, you know, out there in Skechers. Looked at him like, where did this come from? if you know my husband, it's not unusual. Things do come out of the blue with him. He's had the bug ever since.
They think I'm nuts. I mean, my mom, she thinks it's really cool, and she's happy that I love it. And, you know, she backs me 100%, but she thinks I'm nuts. She knows that for me, it's not just competing. It's the people. It's a very tight-knit family. And I love it now. I don't know how I went so long without doing it. So
I get why he likes bull riding. I just, you know, worry because every time he gets on, it is a crash to get off. They don't stop and let you take the stepladder down. All the guys that have done this for a long period of time are like, it's just a matter of time before he gets hurt bad. And he's gotten hurt a number of times. And you just sit and wait and to see if he gets up okay or not. I'll support him as long as he's interested. I doesn't mean I won't try and talk some sense into him, but I can't imagine not supporting him in something he so thoroughly enjoys.
Jason's loved bull riding since his first ride, and he's always been a natural. But after 3 years, he's good enough that he's starting to think beyond the gay rodeo circuit.
Now, for a long time, Jason rode, but he didn't really try. You know, he just did it. Recently, and it happens with all bull riders, a switch goes on where suddenly there's clarity and you're riding bulls. I mean, you're doing it well, and it's really neat to see. I saw him today after his rides and cornered him and said, you're really riding well. Now you need to start doing some sit-ups, get rid of that little pot belly, get your core strength up, get your leg strength up, because every little thing you can do to make yourself better helps.
He's really hungry for it. I could tell when I was talking to him over there. He did a really good job. I was impressed.
I know that. He's turned the corner, but he's done that on a gay rodeo scale. But this level to the next level, it's a big jump.
Rodeo hand, rodeo hand, he's rode everything that a cowboy can. Ride on, cowboy, ride.
So rodeo's over. So now what happens is we all drink and go get cleaned up if they want to. I'm not that type of guy. I just drink, and then we come back for awards. Each person will get their ribbon that they won. And then there's an all-around cowboy, all-around cowgirl. Jason is up for the buckle in bull riding and steer riding.
Ride on, cowboy, ride. Lock up your daughters, pray for your wives. The cowboys are in town, run for your lives. Ride on, cowboy, ride. Ride on, cowboy, ride.
Our next event is bull riding. The buckle goes to Jason Strand.
There's still a certain amount of respect for bull riders. When your rider is still there and in one piece and can either hobble up or walk up and get their buckle, it's kind of a sense of pride and relief and accomplishment for a lot of people in that room. And so that's why for me, every time it's like that first time, because I still get that overwhelming applaud and cheer from people. I feel on top of the world.
I'll see you soon. Congratulations to you. Did you get bulls or steer?
Bulls.
I agree. I'm
good rodeo. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Are you going to Charlie's?
I'll see you there.
Well, I didn't get all dressed up for nothing.
All of us competitors, we all sit back there and we crunch the numbers. We look at our scores. We compare ourselves to who's in the top three or the top two. And we're trying to figure out before the award ceremony comes who gets the buckle and who gets the big money, you know, who gets the bragging rights for the weekend.
Thank you. How many marbles you got left, though? Who said I had any? I do ride the bulls.
I don't think you do, yeah.
This is my last chance to see my family, so we'll head out there for a little bit, have a few drinks, and just mingle and dance a little bit, and head home for the night. I get a little emotional still.
You kind of on the ride home, you get what we like to call post rodeo blues.
Nice to meet you.
Got a tall, non-fat, no-whip mocha. We're at my normal day-to-day job at Starbucks in Sausalito, right off of the Golden Gate Bridge, just north of San Francisco. It's always a little hard to kind of get motivated to get back in the swing of it. You know, you come back and it's you're back to your, you know, so-called 9-to-5, back to the real world.
After watching Jason get bucked off bulls and dragged behind steers all weekend, it's just weird to see him in an apron foaming milk and blending frappuccinos.
So then for the cappuccinos, to get the best foam, you kind of want it to have that constant paper tearing sound, because that's when you're going to get the best foam. It's the creamiest. Got a tall decaf dry cappuccino.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And the two worlds are so different. How often do you run into a bull rider in a big city?
As much as Jason wants to keep riding, he's conflicted about taking the next step.
For me, I'm very much the practical person. You know, it's very, well, I could be a big star one day and bankrupt the next, and what am I going to have to show for it? So for me, I'd rather have that sure thing before I just decide, you know what, I'm done working here at Starbucks. I'm going to go train to be a Pro Bowl rider. There's always that little nagging voice in the back of my head that's going, go practice more. Go practice more. See if you can go semi-pro. See if you can go pro. I think if I do have that shot and I can go even semi-pro, I think I'd even be happy with that. Every year, my ultimate goal would be to hear my name called for all-around cowboy. I've never had that.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact. This show is produced in partnership with the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism. Special thanks to Claire Schoen. Check out our website, radioproject.org, to get a podcast, download past shows, or make a difference by supporting our work. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. The Making Contact team includes Lisa Rudman, George Lavender, Jasmine Lopez, Laura Flynn, Quan Booth, Barbara Barnett, and Luna Gallegos. I'm Andrew Stelzer. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.